Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Monday, November 16th, 1987, 7:30 p.m. This evening's service is an interdenominational community service in appreciation of the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this interdenominational community service in appreciation for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Before we begin the service, several announcements. One is that if you have not already signed a petition in support of the seminary, you will find a petition in the vestibule on some tables there, and you may sign it as you leave. We will not be taking up an offering during this service, but those who would like to make an offering and to help defray the cost of this service may do so with, you will find baskets on your way out in the vestibule also. We will begin the service this evening by saying the opening prayer in unison. Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, you give to some the word of wisdom, to others the word of knowledge, and to others the word of faith. We praise your name for the gifts of grace manifested in your servants, the students, staff, and faculty of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we pray that your churches may never be destitute of such gifts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. As the community of Christ, we gather to sing hymns of praise and to remind ourselves of our need to trust in God. Therefore, let us have a moment of silent confessions. Let us pray. Forgive us, O God, for thinking we have you all figured out. We place you in the box of our limited understanding, not so much because we seek to know you, but to futilely attempt keeping you from knowing us. Remind us that we see in a mirror but dimly, and we do not know fully all things, though we are fully known by you. You know our weaknesses, our inability to accept those who are different from us, our fear towards those who think differently, our failure to stand up against injustice, our easy desire for revenge, our lack of love. Yet though we are weak, your love is far stronger than even our strongest weaknesses. Therefore, we live humbly before you as a forgiven and forgiving people, and pray your gracious love to cover our sins and enliven us to love and good works through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear these words of comfort, these words of absolution and forgiveness from Scripture taken from the prophet Isaiah. For thus says the High and the Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with the one who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite. May the God from the high and holy place reside in your hearts as well. Amen.
Let us thoughtfully attend the reading of an excerpt from the Baptist Confession of 1646. Also, we confess that we know but in part, and that we are ignorant of many things which we desire and seek to know. And if any shall do us the friendly part and show us from the word of God that we see not, and we shall have cause to be thankful to God and to him. But if any man shall impose on us anything that we see not to be commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ, we should rather die 1,000 deaths than to do anything against the light of our consciences.
Thank you. If in one sentence you wanted to put the purpose of Southeastern Seminary, this would be the sentence: to prepare God-called men and women for a variety of Christian ministries. But those who founded that purpose a long time ago now, 37 years to be exact, 1951, did not want it to be misunderstood. So before they finished the paragraph explicating the meaning of that single sentence, they inserted words like these: it is the purpose of the seminary to prepare ministers for the entire Christian church. That meant Methodist, of all things, and Episcopalians, and Lutherans, and Assemblies of God, and Free Will Baptists, and Catholics, and all those others who make up God's family on the earth. Now, over the years, we've tried to live up to our part of that. And you in those churches, whatever be their stripe and whatever be the name over the door or the flag by which you march in the Christian army, you tonight are coming, I think, together to say, we celebrate that sense of belonging to each other because first we belong to Christ. And in this school, in the Forest of Wake, we've learned to belong to each other in the community of teaching and learning. My part is to share with you something of the ground for celebration. Let me do it like this. Until recently, if you had asked me, what is solidarity? I suppose I would have answered you, it's a beleaguered group of freedom lovers in Poland. But not anymore. Now I know what solidarity really is. It's a beleaguered group of freedom seekers in Wake Forest as well. It describes literally thousands of persons determined to restore and to preserve our free conscience, free church, free classroom, free country, Christian tradition. According to Mr. Webster, solidarity means, quote, to galvanize together into a group, to form a community bound by interests, objectives, and standards. You here now together, by that definition, are solidarity. You are enfleshments of everything that word and that emotion could possibly mean. So, celebrate. I, along with everyone else who loves and cherishes Southeastern Seminary, salute you tonight. We are deeply in your debt. The symbol of our togetherness is simple, uncomplex, a mere yellow ribbon. It's the same thing that people tie on all the old oak trees to tell the wandering and the lost to come home again. That symbol, like so many other meaningful things during these past weeks, was conceived and promoted by the more than 1,000 fabulous students who make up the Southeastern Seminary student body for the fall of 1987. Now, across this land, yes, across this entire world, there are Southeasterners, more than 6,500 of them, men and women, young and old, black, white, ethnics, Indians, internationals, who celebrate solidarity. And they do it with us here tonight simply by wearing something yellow. It's a gentle deed, this wearing ribbons. But it is a deed with a genuine resolution of tempered steel. Southern Baptists will meet together in annual session at San Antonio, Texas, next June. That city is famed in history for one central event. It happened on this wise. 183 brave Americans had barricaded themselves into a Chinese church mission called the Alamo. Outside the mission fortress Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, commander of the Mexican forces, raised the flag of no quarter. He commanded his more than 2,000 troops to take no prisoners. The blast of the bugle signaled the rush. Three times the attacking columns were repulsed. The Texans gave ground foot by foot till only a handful of them were left. Still, they fought. Finally, overwhelmed by the odds, the last man at the Alamo lay dead. The battle ended shortly after 5 o'clock a.m., March 6, 1836. The Mexicans had won. But had they? Southern Baptists will gather at the Alamo City next June. The happenings here in the Forest of Wake this autumn of the Firestone of 87 will inevitably impact that gathering. We didn't plan it that way. We didn't orchestrate it. We don't have the kind of wisdom it takes to do that. But simply in the convergence of things, it seems to me to be unavoidable. For you see, I sense a fresh vision of forming. It is a vision by the Baptist, for the Baptist, and with the Baptists. It is a fresh Christian vision, a free conscience, free church, free classroom, free country kind of thing. It is as if, well, it is exactly as if there were a group of embattled Christians who have said, "And if any shall do us the friendly part and show us from the word of God that we see not, we shall have cause to be thankful to God and to them. But if any man shall impose upon us anything that we see not to be commended by our Lord Jesus Christ, we should rather die 1,000 deaths than to do anything against the light of our consciences." In time, my Wake Forest, dear friends, there may arise a new group of freedom lovers. I can see it almost now on a million bumper stickers and badges as Baptists go toward San Antonio. Remember the Alamo and Southeastern Seminary.
Scripture word is from 1 John, the first chapter, the fifth verse, a very familiar verse. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. A vicious foreboding cloud, the color of night, hovers over our town. We all know that. Indeed, darkness has descended upon us all. But God's light shines, even in the darkness. And the darkness, no matter how thick, has not and will not overcome God's darkness. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father, the Scripture says. He is the source of this light, this gift. This light that shines in the night in the Forest of Wake. Our Lord Christ said, I am the light of the world. But what about us, the likes of you and me? What about us? What are we? We are reflections of God's light from Jesus Christ. The same Christ who said to us, I am the light of the world, also paradoxically said, you are the light of the world. We hold a candle in our hands. The ushers are going to come forward just now as we hold these candles. And they're going to light the candles at the end of the aisle, and you will pass the light on down to your neighbor, your sister, your brother. And as you do, will you pass the peace as well, saying to the person beside you, God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Recite with me the Litany of Light. God's light lives within us. Let us live in the light of the Lord. Since the Lord is within us, we have no more need for external light. Extinguish your candle. Pray with me. We praise you, Creator God, for Christ Jesus, the light of the world. In his light, even in this dark hour, we see your face and feel your love. We give thanks, Lord God, for Christ Jesus, the great physician. In the forest of Wake, life has been difficult of late. So many of us, and many of our sisters and our brothers, bring their wounds to this worship hour, this night. At this very moment, we open our very souls to the healing work of Christ Jesus our Lord, the great physician. With thanksgiving, we praise you, Almighty One, that he who is the light of the world and the great physician is also the Prince of Peace. In our broken, split, fragmented world, we welcome the Christ who unifies us, the Christ who makes us brothers and sisters, the Christ who forms us together into family, your family, the family of God. In his name, in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that as there is but one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, all for your love's sake. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.